Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Black Belt Selling with Stephanie and Anna Scheller. I'm Anna.
And I'm Stephanie.
We are a mother-daughter team who are passionate about helping you grow your income through sales training and coaching. On Black Belt Selling, we share content and interview experts to help you kick through those obstacles that are holding you back from reaching the next level in your business and sales. Today's topic is a hot topic, right, Stephanie?
Yes, it is. Every time I talk to someone about this, I get all sorts of, oh my gosh, are you serious? I need that. I probably shouldn't say it's hilarious to me, but every time I tell someone, hey, you know, my next book's coming out at the end of March and the topic is getting past the gatekeeper, everyone's jaws off. Oh my gosh, we need that. Why hasn't anyone ever done that before? And I'm looking at it going, you know, why hasn't anybody ever talked about this before? It's probably the biggest bane of existence for most sales reps. Why does it get so ignored?
Well, and I think it goes across the board with entrepreneurs and business owners because, to be honest, I was just having a conversation yesterday with another sales trainer. Her name's Melanie Lane, and she's out of Phoenix, Arizona. And we were talking about how people pour themselves into creating product, pour themselves into crafting their business, and really, you know, they're so wrapped up in it. And the success is, it's not just about the numbers on the profit and loss, but it's really about their time and their energy and the sweat equity they have in their business. But when it comes to finding the decision maker, they keep running into these people who control the schedule, who limit access to the decision makers. Now, there actually is a book out about how you talk to the very important top officer, the decision maker. And the author, his name is Anthony Parinello. He talks about gatekeepers in the following way. He says that the secret of success in these areas is to remember that no encounter with a gatekeeper has to turn into a conflict. In fact, when you do this right and you have the right attitude, you will be able to recruit one or more gatekeepers in your target organization as your ally. And I think that's really a great way to set up our talk today because, you know, I've read through the notes that you sent me that you're working on, and really that's the core of what you are talking about when you're talking about how to get past the gatekeeper. So, you know, Stephanie, how did you come? I mean, you talked a little bit about it, but I'm really curious, and I think I know how you discovered this hot button, but why don't you tell our viewers really the key to finding out what was important to our listeners?
Well, so, you know, let me back up and I'll give you guys kind of my story as far as this goes. You know, the way I start my book is I say, hey, we didn't have a water cooler. We had an alley. We had a smoke break alley. And even though I didn't smoke, the alley lay between the parking lot and the front door, so I would inevitably find myself standing, hands on hips, caught up in the conversation. And the conversation almost always ended up revolving around the challenges that we faced every day. And the one challenge that got, you know, airtime every single day was those pesky gatekeepers that, you know, they stood between us and our paychecks. And if they would just, you know, go to you know where, we would all be making so much more money. Those pesky gatekeepers, hate them, and we would rant and rave. And, you know, oh, you needed an excuse for why you didn't close a deal this week? Well, the gatekeeper wouldn't let you. So we ranted on it, and it was the best excuse for why you couldn't hit quota. It was the best excuse for why you were frustrated. All of our frustrations ended up getting taken out on the gatekeeper because they were annoying. They were in the way. And the problem that I've come to realize is that it doesn't matter how much you hate them. They are not all going to you know where. They're not going to disappear. They're going to be there. They will be there. You know, I heard it's hilarious. So two things came up recently that reminded me that people still do use the gatekeepers very specifically to keep these sales reps away from them. And the first one was my coach was talking about how he's hiring his personal assistant. And he said, her job, in a nutshell, is to protect me. And he said, if that means answering the phone so I don't get calls from those pesky little sales reps who are trying to take my money, or if that means protecting me from myself when I try and do something that I know I shouldn't be doing and I should outsource that information, but her job is to protect me. And it helped me realize, you know, that is half the reason that business owners hire a gatekeeper, is to protect them. Protect you from whatever's out there, particularly the fact that the phone rings and rings and rings and rings all day long, and unless you have a stellar marketing plan, it's very rarely someone calling to do business with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so,
exactly.
For a long time, I hated the gatekeepers, and then when I branched away from that office that I was working in, and I started working on my own, you know, the change happened so gradually that I didn't even notice it happening. I didn't even realize that I was no longer having trouble getting past the gatekeeper. You know, as far as I didn't even think about it, because they just weren't there. They just weren't a problem. You know, kind of like you don't realize how nice it is to be able to breathe easily through your nose until you get stuffed up and you can't breathe easily through your nose. Right.
Right.
Right. I didn't notice how easily I was getting past the gatekeepers because it wasn't a problem.
Hmm.
And when I sat down, and because recently I was at a training, and someone was like, "Oh man, if I could just get past the gatekeeper, man, I hate those gatekeepers." And I was like, "Wait, you mean the gatekeepers still exist?" And it made me kind of back up and say, okay, what was the biggest change that made a difference for me in dealing with the gatekeepers? And the biggest change that I could wrap my head around was my mindset changed. You see, Mom, the first thing you put on here is who's your greatest enemy when you're talking to the gatekeeper. And for most sales reps, the greatest enemy is the gatekeeper himself. The truth of the matter is, you are your own greatest enemy when you're talking.
Right.
As soon as I started to change how I looked at sales, as soon as I started to adjust so that I was no longer looking at sales from I need to close a deal so I can collect a paycheck, and it turned into how can I find people that I can help. As soon as my sales became how can I serve, that was probably the biggest change that contributed to me no longer having to fight with the gatekeepers all the time.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's interesting, Stephanie, a lot of times the gatekeepers are there. They're not just there as a filter to manage the decision maker's calendar. They're also there to see what kind of person you are, what kind of intention you bring to the meeting. Because if you show up and you treat the receptionist or the executive assistant as somebody to step over to get to the decision maker, trust me, the decision maker knows, right?
Mhm. Oh yeah, they know. I mean, it's the whole, you can tell when someone's not really talking to you. They're talking or they're listening, but they're not really listening. They can tell the same thing. And, you know, I was always warned from the get-go when I was getting ready to do my first few interviews. They said, make sure you treat the secretary or whoever's at the gate, treat them well, because very often, especially in the larger companies, after the interviewer will walk out and will ask the gatekeeper, hey, what did you think?
Mm-hmm.
Because gatekeeper is going to get the true you. And so
exactly. The
executive wants to know who the true you is. It's kind of that joke that goes around Facebook every so often about the guy who is late for his interview. And he shows up and cuts someone off in the parking lot, parks, flips him the bird as he's running up to his interview, you know, ha-ha, you know, beat you, gets up there, and they're like, oh, yeah, he'll be right with you. And as soon as the executive to run the interview walks in, the guy who's being interviewed realizes that this is the guy he cut off in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the gatekeeper is the executive's way of finding out if you're the guy who's going to cut someone off in the parking lot. and if you're the type of person mm-hmm. they want to have representing their company. So the gatekeeper is way more important than most people want to give them credit for.
Exactly. And gatekeepers, if treated well and treated professionally and treated respectfully, we're going to talk a lot about that as we get on, but they can become your greatest allies because they're the ones. I work with a gatekeeper in a company where we service the apartments for them. I'll tell you what, when I call that person, every time I call her, it's always, "Hey, Anna, how are you?" It's never, you know, let it go to voicemail. I mean, sometimes it does because she's a busy lady. But the point is that I have developed a relationship with the gatekeeper. She's not the decision maker, but she is the gatekeeper. And I know, matter of fact, they're renewing their contract with us for next year. And a lot of it's because of the relationship I've built up with the gatekeeper. It's so powerful, and it is so important for people to understand that making relationship, building relationship with the gatekeeper is as important as getting into the decision maker and closing the sale. Let's move on, Stephanie, to the magic phrase that gets past the defense. Because let's face it, these ladies or gentlemen, the people who, and generally they're women, most often the gatekeepers are women, and just because they're women does not make them not someone to reckon with. But a lot of times they're not appreciated for what they do for the company. I mean, they might be, I'm sure they are, but, you know, especially salespeople coming in trying to make a sale, they're not always appreciated. So what is that magic phrase that gets past their defense?
Well, the magic phrase, and let's be honest, this is kind of a magic phrase for anybody, is thank you. You know,
there's
a whole day dedicated to appreciating your, you know, executive or administrative assistant appreciation day, because they do get overlooked a lot. You know, they do a lot of work around the office, and yes, it is their job. They're supposed to keep the printer stocked. They're supposed to keep the coffee pot full. This is all the stuff that they get paid to do. But at the same time, it's kind of a thankless job. And it's stuff that just hearing a thank you really means a lot to them. You know, they have other stuff to do than talk to you on the phone. They have other stuff to do. That I've had gatekeepers that we talk for a minute or two, and they're like, "Well, he's not in his office," or "Well, he's not answering his phone. He may not even be in his office." And then I'm like, "Oh, okay. Well, you know what? I really don't want to. I know you've got a lot of other stuff to do." They're like, "Oh, you know what? Let me go and check and see if he's in his office." And I'm like, "Okay, great." So I had this one gatekeeper, and she ran to go check if the guy was in his office, and she was gone for a while. And she comes back, and she's a little breathless, and I was like, "Are you okay?" She goes, "No, I'm sorry, I checked, and John's not in his office, and neither is Karen, and neither is Mike. Those are the three people, any one of those guys could give you the answer you're looking for, and none of them are here right now. I'm so sorry. I checked all of their offices. They're all dark." And I was like, "Wait, you ran and checked three offices for me?" She was like, "Well, yeah." I was like, "Thank you. I can't tell you how much I appreciate that." She's like, "Oh, well, you're welcome. You know what? I could take a message, and I could leave one on each of their desks, so one of them will call you back." I was like, I just couldn't even believe this gatekeeper was willing to bend over backwards to help me out, because I appreciated what she did, and I made sure she knew that.
That's really, really, it's a very powerful thought, and it's probably one that we don't, in our excitement and our enthusiasm and in our drive to get to the decision maker, it's easy to overlook that. But I think that people who adopt and really come at sales from a position of service, it will come easy, just as it did for you. I mean, you're a prime example of how that happened. Well, can you believe, Stephanie, we're almost to the halfway point of the show. It's been so engaging. I wanted to take just a minute to remind our listeners that we now have a 4-CD set with the top broadcasts from our first year of broadcasting. So in the set, people will learn about the mental attitude necessary to break through obstacles, the critical component often overlooked for building confidence, how to close before asking for the order, and that was our grand, phenomenal friend, Ben Gay III, and strategies behind the close to become a master. Now, if you get the CD set, you will also have access to a website where you will receive a bonus track from us, also discussing closing. Now, all of the stuff, the CDs are ready to go, but we are still working on the shopping cart, the e-commerce part of it. So what you need to do is, if you're interested in that set, and this, guys, think of this as learning on the go. You might not be able to always listen to our radio shows when you're on the road, but you know what you can do? You can pop a CD into your CD player when you're traveling or you're on that long commute. And I can promise you, these are experts who know their stuff. So if that sounds good to you, and I can't imagine, Stephanie, why it wouldn't sound good to us, but if that sounds good to you, go ahead and email us at annajoescheller@gmail.com, and I will get you the information to purchase the CD set. Again, that's annajoescheller@gmail.com, and I'll get back with you and let you know what it takes to make one of these sets your very own. All right. Well, let's get back to the information everybody's really excited about, and that is, how do we get past the gatekeeper? So let's move on to the essential element that you have to demonstrate your professionalism.
Well, you know, the essential element in my mind is respect. And it's interesting. So respect is kind of one of those nebulous words that we use to describe everything. You're not respecting me. Okay, well, they backtalk. So what is respect? And as soon as I went online and started trying to look up, okay, what exactly is respect? There were definitions, you know, a feeling of deep admiration, to admire someone deeply as the result of their abilities, qualities, or achievements, to esteem, to admire, to think highly of, to have a high opinion of, to revere, to reverence. These are all words that they don't really say anything. Mm-hmm. They say a lot, but they don't say anything helpful.
Mm.
So I'm trying to write this chapter on how to respect your gatekeepers, and I'm struggling. I'm struggling to try and figure out, how do I put this into words for my listener, for my readers? And really, the best thing that I could come up with was to talk about how respect, respect is a feeling of deep admiration. The first thing you have to do, you have to recognize that these gatekeepers have accomplished something. Whether or not you want to admit it, whether or not you like that thought, the gatekeeper has accomplished something, and accomplished something big. These are often some of the most important people in the company. These are the people who, you know, more often than not, they're in charge of the prospect's calendar. They're in charge of the prospect's, sometimes their checkbook. They often get the credit card, hey, go pick this up, go pick that up.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big deal. And so
yeah.
You have to, first and foremost, understand that there may have been a time when the gatekeeper was it was the only job that a woman could get, or it was, you're a woman looking for a job in a corporate world. Oh, great, you'll be the gatekeeper. You'll be the secretary. That's not the case anymore. It's not how it works.
Mm-hmm.
These people have qualifications behind them to be executive assistants, to be gatekeepers. And all of these people all of the sales reps who try to blow right past them, who forget that they've accomplished something, you know, oftentimes the gatekeeper is the very first person that a executive will hire. The personal assistant the, you know, administrative assistant, the executive assistant, whatever you want to call them, that's often the very first hire in a company. Think about that. This position has been part of the company for a long time and probably has been filled by the same person the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
They've
mm-hmm.
accomplished something. They've achieved something. And so that's probably the biggest thing to wrap your head around, to keep in mind when you're dealing with the gatekeeper, is that they have accomplished something, and you have to not just expect them, but you need to let it show.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the basic ideas that I've listed for how to show that you actually do respect the gatekeeper, stuff like show up on time. Listen
mm-hmm.
to them. Listen to what they have to say. You know, if they say, hey, call back at 2, and you say, sounds great, I'll call you at 2, call them at 2, not 2:30, not 2:40, call them at 2.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like, let's see, if they say, hey, you know, we're not interested in that, then, you know, the first instinct from a sales rep, as soon as the gatekeeper says, no, he's not interested, is to say something to the effect of, well, how would you know? Or they say, oh, okay, of course, I'm sure you're very well aware of exactly. And they get, you know, snotty for the most part.
Right, right.
And the script that I've given people is to say, you know, I completely respect that, and let me tell you this, I'll take you guys off our call list. Do you mind telling me how you know or what you know that makes you aware that they're not interested in this opportunity? Never question them. Always come to them
no.
from a place of, look, I believe you. You obviously know your boss. Share with me, help me understand, what is it that they're not interested in? How
right.
do you know they're not interested? What is it? Go ahead. Sorry.
No. No, that's perfect. And it really, really leads into the last part of this. And I just want to also interject, Stephanie, that it's very important to have a good sense of humor throughout all of this, especially if you're running across a gatekeeper who is having a heck of a day. You know,
mm-hmm.
Be ready to roll with them. Be ready to help them smile. Now, never make a joke at their expense, but, you know, have a few things in your arsenal to help you break the ice a little bit with them, especially if they are having a bad day. You know, because humor goes a long, long ways. Again, this lady that I know out of Phoenix, Melanie, she's really good at it. She actually used to be a stand-up comedian, and she is funny, and she can get in anywhere. You know why? Because she's funny. And she knows how to use humor correctly. So, I mean, I just want to throw that out there for our audience before we hit this last point. But getting back to the information that trying to find out why the gate or the decision maker would not be interested, you need to provide some really important information up front to the gatekeeper, the secretary, the assistant, so that they have a clear understanding of what you're there for. And I got to tell you, Stephanie, you know this and I know this, it's not about the features that your product or service is about. What do you need to tell people so that they know what you're there for and you're more likely to gain an audience with the decision maker?
Well, it goes back to what I first said. The gatekeeper's job is to protect the prospect. So what you need to let them know is that you're not here to hurt the prospect. You're not here to attack them. You're not here to frustrate them. You're here on their side. You're here to help out. You are here to make their life as the gatekeeper easier, because you're going to make the prospect's life easier. And if the prospect's life easier, it's going to be easier on the gatekeeper. So the most important thing is to recognize that their job is to protect the gatekeeper. Your job needs to be to not attack. Or if their job is to protect the prospect, your job needs to be to not attack the prospect. So let them know, look, I'm really trying to find a way to help him out. I would really like to add some value to his life. I'm not looking to sell him on anything unless it's something that's going to be a good fit. I'm looking for a way to help him, even if that's just offer him some advice or some feedback.
Right, right. And, you know, before you, so we're that's on the back end of it in case you don't get that appointment. But think about, let's think about the front end of it. I hope that if someone's going to a company and they are planning to meet with somebody to start a business negotiation, they're doing their research to find out what needs the company has and what problems they could solve for the company. So, for instance, when you were in digital marketing, you would know what a business was looking for before you went there, so that one, you didn't waste their time and you didn't waste your time. So my thinking is, correct me if I'm wrong, you would show up and say, I can help your company get more exposure through digital marketing, and I would like to be able to show you how we can help you get more exposure for your business so you can make more sales and bring in more revenue. What business owner is not interested in making more money? I don't know very many. But you also have to do your research. You have to present the features as a benefit that your customer is looking for, and you do that through research. And you do that through carefully thinking about the benefits that they will enjoy, because that's an extremely important part of getting past the gatekeeper. She's going to make the decision whether you get to the decision maker or not. So you have to provide it. And talk about that. Talk about that for a minute or so. We're almost done. I can't believe it always goes so fast.
I know. Half an hour really is not nearly as much time as it sounds like.
No,
I would go in, and I actually never went in to say, hey, I'm going to provide you with, you know, more exposure. What I would do is I would go in and offer them advice on how they could get more exposure, whether or not they wanted to work with me. Let me, if your boss having problems with this, let me fix a problem for your boss. Let me make his life easier, whether or not he ends up wanting to work with me. If nothing else, he'll talk with me. I can give him some feedback and some advice. I guarantee, I'm the kind of person, once we start to talk, you're going to want to talk more, and you're going to want to talk more, and then sooner or later, we're going to end up doing business together. All I need to do is get him to actually be able to talk with me. So I'll offer free guidance, free advice, free help all day long, because I know I have something to offer there. I know I have value to offer. And that's how I get people on the phone with me. That's how I would let the gatekeeper know, you know, look, I'm not actually looking to sell your boss into some advertising here. All I'm looking is to find a way to give him some value. And if he wants to work with me, great. But I'm not going to force his hand. I'm not going to fight and twist his arm to make that happen.
Right, right.
So we are pretty much out of time at this point, so I want to go ahead and wrap this up, because I do want to let our listeners know, next week we have an extraordinary guest coming on. And this is a lady, actually, you guys are going to start hearing more and more about. Her name is Sunita Trevino, Sunita Punjabi Trevino. She is a doctoral candidate. She should have her doctorate appointed or authorized by the end of this year, which is extremely exciting. And she has been doing this. She's been doing her words. She uses big words, and it always throws me for a loop. I can never remember them. I know one of them is neuroplasticity, but basically, she's going to tell you how to make your brain work for you instead of against you. You know, everything you do in your life, every decision you make, every action you take has been decided for you by your brain. And so your brain makes these decisions based on your background, based on your history. And Sunita is the woman who has turned it into a science on how to make your brain work for you instead of against you. So I highly recommend it. You know, we're all in sales. We all have things that are holding us back. I highly recommend. Join us next week. We'll be here same time, same place, Friday, 12:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we have Sunita Trevino joining us next week to talk about how to make your brain work for you, how to make a difference in your life, how to use these tools to turn your brain into your greatest ally. Looking forward to seeing you guys then. If you have questions, don't forget, join us in the Facebook group, www.facebook.com/groups/blackbeltselling. Get with us about these CDs. They are phenomenal. They're already getting rave reviews from the purchasers. Very excited to chat with you guys again. See you all next week. But in the meantime, I'm Stephanie, here for Anna, and we are the Black Belt Sellers of Southwest and Central Texas. Thanks so much, and have a great week.